This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
On the line,
gay and lesbian news and interviews
with Dean Beck.
Made in Melbourne for Australia and the world.
Now, it is my great pleasure to welcome to the studio. I'll see if I get this right. I haven't even rehearsed this with him. Lefteris Pat Lamazoglou.
That's very well done.
It's nowhere near it, is it? You are studying a PhD psychology, and you're doing a PhD for our community, really. Mm. Many people lose a partner.
True.
Through whatever means. Mm-hmm. And that has to impact their relationships later on.
Absolutely.
But we don't know anything about it.
Well, we don't know enough about it. Yes. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to...
So what? Why is this an area that we haven't studied? There are so many people, particularly, you know, in the throughout the AIDS crisis in the early 90s, mm-hmm. that lost partners.
That's right. Yeah, well, there is some research, mainly from the 90s.
Right.
That's focusing on the experience of losing a same-sex partner. But that's usually focused on the experience of losing a same-sex partner to a reason related to HIV or AIDS.
Okay.
Right? So we know some things about it. But what I'm mostly interested in is investigating the experience of losing a partner, a same-sex partner, to something that's not related to HIV.
So maybe prostate cancer or breast cancer.
Anything
or
else.
Car crash or whatever.
That's right, yes. Yeah. And that's mainly because HIV is no longer a terminal disease.
Yeah.
It's more like a chronic disease. And also there's lots of stigma and disenfranchisement around HIV.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. So,
yes. And the reasons, actually, I came across probably two published researches that have investigated this specifically, but none of these have investigated the impact of this experience on subsequent relationships.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's such a fascinating field.
Well, I'm glad you're saying this.
Tell me about your studies in psychology. Mm-hmm. What motivated you to take that particular path?
Oh, that's a long journey, going back to a few years. Well, initially I was interested to see how people work, how I work, and how people function.
Have you come up with any answers yet?
knock on my door about 15 years from now, and I'll let you know.
It's an evolving space.
Very much so.
And, you know, we see the psychology Bible being updated from time to time.
Absolutely.
But it's also evolving space in things like plasticity, which mm-hmm. 10 years ago mm-hmm. we thought was a fixed entity as mm-hmm. far as our brain was concerned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, neuropsychology, neuroscience in general is making great progress. And, of course, psychology is involved with that to some extent. Yeah, it's amazing what we have discovered recently in psychology, and also what we discovered in psychology that we thought we knew, but we proved to be wrong.
Proved
to be wrong. So, we keep updating those manuals, and anything really in psychology from the past 10 years is recent. Anything before that is quite obsolete, unless it's classic, of course.
What is your motivation? Is it to go down an academic route? Is it to go down a counselling route with people and be in a private practice? What do you want to do?
Mm. Well, I'd like to have a bit of everything.
Yeah.
I'm a family counsellor already, so I'd like to keep some counselling, probably like 2 or 3 days a week, then do some research, maybe another couple of days a week, and some teaching, maybe something within academia. Of course, that may sound like a few things to handle, but we'll see how we go.
There are many that do it.
Have
a toe in each camp. Mm-hmm. But a counsellor or a psychologist mm-hmm. tends to base a lot from lived experience. You're Absolutely. A young fellow.
Young-looking.
Maybe young-looking. How old are you?
28.
Okay. Well, that's mm-hmm. still young. Mm-hmm. How much of this can be done from an academic basis and how much has to be living life?
I think that's what amazes me about psychology and counselling, that... It's part science, part experience, part art. There's a
yeah,
mass, yeah, of okay. course. There's definitely an art to being a counselor and relating.
Sure.
Some, of course, there's so much research about counseling skills and how to relate, how to understand what to say. But it, I think a big part of this is personal experience.
Has to be, yeah.
Insights, absolutely, of course.
And also... techniques, I mean, you can write techniques of relating to people and being with people, but you mm-hmm. know, there is an art to that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So your counselling work, mm-hmm. when you say families,
That's
do you
right.
work in LGBTI families or rainbow families or standard heterosexual families? What do you do?
With families in general.
Okay.
I work at the moment at a post-separation counseling service, mm-hmm. so most of my clients are court ordered, and some of these have been same-sex couples that have had a separation in the past, and there are children involved in the cases. So, I hope to see all members of the family and the children, which is not always possible.
How do you keep a level head in this space? Because we must get some really challenging cases before you.
Yes, I do. Well, I've got a very good support from friends, from family.
Is that about debriefing afterwards?
It's self-care. It's self-care. Okay. Look, I prefer to debrief with my colleagues. Mm-hmm. We have supervision on a weekly basis and on a needs basis as well. So I prefer to keep the case in discussion around them within work.
Does that debrief process, what does mm-hmm. that look like? Because there are some counsellors that, mm-hmm. You know, after a number of years, they don't think they need that sort mm-hmm. of thing. Why do you actively engage in that process?
Well,
or is it a case of have to with your studies?
Well, part of it we have to.
Yeah.
And all registered psychologists do have to do at least 10 hours of supervision a year, but also it's something that we do because it keeps us going and to get, you know, some validation, some guidance, some stimulation to think what might work better, what okay. could I have done differently.
I imagine there's got to be a fair amount of self-care in a space of post-traumatic stress for the psychologist. You know, you must be bombarded with horrific situations all the time.
There are some horrific situations, yes, there are, you're right. And there are cases where I've had to co-work with some of the colleagues as well, so that, you know, we make sure that we're doing the right thing, as I said, and that we debrief, we get the stress out. Sometimes when we sit in group supervision, we cry, we do let it all out. And of course, outside of this, there's the self-strategies. For example, cycling. I cycle to work as often as I can. And usually, you know, when I get on my bike after a full-on day and I ride down the hill, I feel like I shed that professional...
Oh, wow.
You know, like the wind is kind of shedding that professional thought or thinking process away from me, and I slip back into my personal life. So I try, boundaries, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I try to keep the boundaries quite clear as I can.
That's a beautiful explanation. Thank you,
Lefteris. Hopefully it makes sense.
You're we're speaking to Lefteris, who's studying a PhD in psychology. We're talking about some of those techniques that he does to protect himself, but we'll find out more about his area of study after the break. He's looking at bereavement experiences from same-sex partners, the impact that has on their later life relationships.
Bringing you the best news and views.
You're with Dean Beck.
Joy 94.9.
My guest in the studio is Lefteris, who's doing a study in how our relationships are affected by the death of a partner and what that means to new relationships. Now, he's looking for same-sex attracted lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgender and intersex, queer or others from our community who have lost a same-sex partner due to causes that are not related to HIV. And this research will inform a publication, his PhD, of course, but hopefully it'll be in a hardcover and go global and viral and all that, and change the world of psychology. What are you looking at? Is there an age?
There isn't.
No?
No. Okay. Well, you have to be over 18, of course.
Sure.
And because there's not enough research before, so we keep this quite open.
And that I guess, is good, but you still need people to put their hand up. How long is it going to take, and is it an interview process? What does it look like?
So people will get in contact with me somehow.
We'll give out the details at the end, and I'll also put it on our on our podcast page for this.
Thank you. It's a two-stage research, so it's a longitudinal project. At each stage, the participants are required to fill in an online survey of about 10 minutes or so, and then 3 or 4 days after this, we'll have a face-to-face interview. It might be Skype or over the phone if they live in the state. And that's the process.
And that interview process will take?
About an hour.
Okay. So for an hour and 10 minutes, you can really change the world. And ultimately, you want this to educate other psychologists about how to handle this.
And public and everyone. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a pretty good
raise
thing.
Raise some awareness. I'm trying.
Now, I happened to slip a copy of your flyer down to our good friends at the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, who were very impressed, and they get this sort of thing all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for those who are looking to form a new relationship after the death of a partner, they may be doing things that are sabotaging their possible new relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Out of not having fully dealt with some of the grief and loss.
Possibly, yes. Like everybody.
We all do that.
Yeah.
So your job is to fix it, pretty much.
To understand it first. And then I can suggest probably ways of possibly fixing it.
We are complex characters. I really admire people who go down the path of trying to help others in this space. It is... it is no easy task. And there are good ones and bad ones. Why is that?
Sure.
Something that they can do and others clearly can't. Your motivations, did that come out from to study this area? Why this?
Because I do identify as part of the LGBTI community. And I was always very attracted to research in psychology. And I realized this time last year that I wanted to do something to give back to the community. So I thought, yeah, let's spend 3 years or four doing a PhD.
But this is a very specific area that,
it is.
That as you've identified.
It is quite niche, yeah.
There's not a lot in it.
That's true. And, of course, because it is a PhD research, it has to be unique and provide genuine research to the field.
But after so many people with the PhD after their name, you know, you wonder whether there are many gaps left, but clearly.
Well, there's always a gap.
Now, you will be reimbursed if you contribute to this study. There is a gift voucher to a major supermarket to the value of $50. And more importantly, you will contribute to Left Harris's PhD. It is authorised by Monash University's Ethics Department.
That's right.
You won't be asked any questions that are unethical unless he wants your phone number for other reasons. And that's a personal thing. So the two-stage process is, why are they 10 months apart?
Because we would like to see what's changed in those 10 months.
Okay. So the survey
The survey and the interview will take place at each stage.
Oh, in both the two stages. Mm. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. So when do you get your gift voucher? Not till you finish the second one.
Well, you get part of it after the first one.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Because we do seek commitment to both stages.
Yeah,
of course.
Sure. Look, it is very important to contribute to a study like this. I always welcome the opportunity to promote them. And I thank you, Left Harris, for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, you can get in contact with Left Harris by checking out, what's the Facebook page?
It's called The Bereavement Experience of Same-Sex Partners.
Say that again.
The Bereavement Experience of Same-Sex Partners.
Bereavement Experiences of Same-Sex Partners on Facebook. Or go to our podcast page for On The Line, joy.org.au/onTheLine. I'll put it up there later today. And the links will be there. Thanks again.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.